Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, that question was a good deal, kind of a twofer. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy.
Yes?
Why didn't you define rest?
Well, I'm sorry. That was my fault.
Did you edit it down or something?
I did.
All righty then. So if you missed the aforementioned debacle, Jimmy asked the question. Somebody wrote in and said, "Hey, how do I learn to rest in God on a daily basis?"
Right.
So I took that to mean that you rest, that you cease striving to be in control of everything. You quit kicking against the goads, and you trust that everything that God is doing in your life is for your good and for His glory. You know, the way the Bible says it. How do you rest in that? But now you inform me that wasn't the, what are we talking about, napping?
A little bit, yeah. So I didn't set it up properly, and I apologize. Let's just ask the whole question as it was written in. This is, again, from Hope. Todd, my life has been so busy lately. Lots of ministry, working on my master's, and working, in addition to building a new social circle and planning things, big things for next year. There's always more to do, and it's getting harder for me to slow down and rest. My best attempts at resting mostly involve watching something or scrolling through my phone.
Well, this would have been helpful information.
I'm so sorry.
You know, there's a semantic range to the word rest, don't you?
I do now.
Right.
So then the question, I know God should be my source of rest, but how do I practically implement that into my daily life?
Well, you might find some helpful articles at Challey's website, Tim Challey's website. He talks about subjects like this and time management and finding balance in life. You might find some really helpful articles there. He's also got a productivity book, Do More Better. Do more faster, something like that. But at any rate, that might be a good source. Here's my Cliff's Notes version of what he might say. You might need help in taking and in opening up your calendar to somebody to help you make some decisions that perhaps put things in order for you. Because look, your bandwidth might be super wide. Sounds like it is, but it still has limits. Because we're not God. His bandwidth, infinite. Ours, very finite. some skinnier, some wider than others. But you ultimately have a breaking point. You can only do so much. And so you would need, perhaps, some help. Somebody to give you perspective and say, let's take a look at everything you've got going on. Because even Jimmy, as you read through that laundry list, mm-hmm. as it started to get like longer and longer, and I'm like, well, you sure you need to be making those plans for next year already? I mean, yes, you do some planning, but it's like, hold on. Is everything on that list a necessity? And let somebody help you make some of those decisions and then hold you to them, recognizing this is not being a quitter. Look, there are some people who are lazy. They're quitters. This is not being a quitter when you cut some things off of your list. It is nothing but a reminder that you're not divine. And you can't do everything. Enlist help. And then enlist that same help or somebody else to hold you accountable. I can resonate with this letter. I get it. I like working. I like to do everything. I mean, I just like it. I don't care what I just like it. And I can see it as just being super important and it needs to be done and I've got to get to. Hold on. Here's some people that you can check in with that will also help you know whether your schedule is too packed or not. Those that are nearest to you. So in this instance, what does your husband think about your schedule? What do your kids think about it? What do your friends think about it? There is a balance in life, and the Bible doesn't give us this many minutes with this group of people and this many minutes doing this. The Bible is too brilliant for that. We've got Christian liberty in so many regards. But there should be something of a life balance. And I think the Bible lays out those priorities for us. Believe it or not, work is a priority over play. The world, once again, flip. No, no, play. That's the most important thing. Life balance. I need to work as little as I can to play as much as I want to. Wrong. We work and rest only to regenerate ourselves so we can get back to working. Why? Because God has assigned us work, because God is a working God. And so our priority is work. And then you rest in order to do that work. Now you've got other considerations. You've got your church responsibility. You've got your family responsibility. And there can even be some of this discretionary time where you just do need to sit on the couch and just chill out a little bit. That's okay. Historically, haven't we seen confusion about this? Where it's like, there's an imbalance perhaps in society or in one's life. And you go, hey, wait a second. You need to be doing that too. And then suddenly that you need to be doing that too becomes you need to be doing that exclusively. And so you got to be constantly working on just thinking about your schedule and your balance. What does my family think about it? How am I doing with my church responsibilities? Am I getting downtime? Am I overscheduled? Am I getting frazzled? Then you need to make some adjustments and then make adjustments again and make adjustments again, because life is not tidy and you'll need to continually go about the business of tweaking that schedule. Because you've got a lot of commitments. And if your current schedule is keeping you from priorities that God wants you to have, then you got to change your priorities and get them in alignment with God's. And to do that, most likely, you need somebody's help. Hence the necessity of a good local church. Hey, you got anything to add to that?
Oh, I've got a lot to add to that. I actually just preached a sermon on that this weekend, but...
Well, then why didn't you answer the question?
Well, she asked you.
Okay. All right, then I'm asking you. What say you, Jimmy?
No. So I agree with everything you just said there. Busyness, as Hope described it, it's good to keep your schedule busy, but I mean, it can be an idol.
That can be an idol. You're
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. But, you know, the pattern, God built a pattern into our lives. I mean, he's a working God, like you said, and the pattern that he built into creation is 6 days of work, 1 day of rest.
Oh, you're becoming, okay, here we go with the Sabbath business.
No, I'm not talking about Sabbath, period. I'm just saying that the principle is there. That's
you got to rest sometimes.
Yeah, you've got to, for sure.
And look, everybody's built differently. Jimmy, you're a worker. I know that. I see it. What time did you get here this morning?
6:15.
Okie dokie. So, good. Bless your heart. But were you up till about 1 reading last night?
I was not.
Okay, I rest of my case. The point is, everybody's got different bandwidth and there needs to be different balance. But yeah, rest does need to be a part of it. The problem is when rest becomes all-consuming, you're out of balance. But so too is too much work. And you're right, Jimmy, work can be an idol, especially for men. We find a lot of satisfaction in work. It's something controllable. You can see the tangible results of your efforts. And it doesn't usually have a lot of emotional baggage connected to it.
And it's so hard to see because you think you're being faithful. You're working hard, providing for your family and the world. Everybody in the world's calling it a strong work ethic. But man, it can just really become an idol.
It's a heart issue too. That's a part of this. So that would be a good component to consider also. Why are you so busy? Do you know who I had a synapse in my brain. There may or may not be some sort of connection here to the aforementioned conversation. I think his name is Benny Johnson. Does that name ring a bell?
I don't think so.
Jason just sent me a clip of this guy. He was being interviewed on the Theo Von podcast show. I guess Theo Von is a comedian. He has a popular podcast. We've talked about this Benny Johnson before. He's the bazillionaire who wants to live forever.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And so his whole day is consumed with taking care of his body. And I thought, if I could sit down with him, my first question would be, Benny, what are you so afraid of? There's something that motivates that all-consuming obsession with being able to live forever. I don't want to die. What are you afraid of? There's something underneath it. It's a heart issue that is lurking behind the motivation to go about the business of spending millions of dollars to extend your life and to try to look like a teenager, even though you're like 50 something. It's a heart issue that's going on there. I wouldn't want to talk to him. You know, Theo Vaughn's talking to him about, well, what about this and your blood level and the vitamin, whatever, sleeping, whatever. Eh, what's going on in that heart? What's going on in that heart? Because whenever you see behavior that's extreme, and that can be health, it can be work, it can also be parenting, it can be your good things, right things. These aren't things that are sinful, but they become that because they've been elevated to the status of idol, and we live for these things and we find our identity in these things and we find our fulfillment and purpose in these things. And God will crash those things for you. He will, to help you get it straightened out. And so that is why you always want to go about the business of finding those idols in your heart and trashing them and bringing them down yourself so that God doesn't have to do it to you. Refiner's fire, your heart's one desire is not to go through the refiner's fire. Put yourself through it. Do heart evaluation. So if you've got something out of balance, something that you're obsessed about, even a good thing, just do a little heart exam to make sure it hasn't become an idol. This is Wretched Radio.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur, bringing the weight of Scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting Scripture, and if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read Scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced any type of real change in the areas of your life that really need it the most? Or do you find yourself just getting by, just figuring out a way to manage to the next day? Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing their anger, managing their anxiety, managing the habits that they've formed, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. Greg is a professor at the Masters University and a fellow here at Fortis Institute as well. And his whole focus is helping people experience the kind of change that only comes through the sufficient Word of God. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Manly Wretched Radio. You don't need to snicker in there. I'm your manly host, Todd. We got a manly text number, 877-282-2337.
Is your voice going to hold up the entire segment?
Probably not. You can also text manly emails to idea@wretched.org and anything else I can think of to say that doesn't include Jimmy, because it would kill me to call you manly. It would just, I die a little on the inside.
I won't make you.
This is Wretched Radio. Don't know why. I think this was just, I think that it was good men coming together and going, we got to do something, because we didn't plan this, but we have been creating a ton of resources for men. Oh. And so we built actually a complete landing page for it, the Be the Man page, because it has Gentleman, that's with John Krotz. Mm-hmm. We are just launching now Adam Tyson's Walk Like a Man.
Right.
You've got the thing on pornography, Play the Man, mm-hmm. all free, available at fortisplus.org. So if you're a young man, you're trying to find your way, you're trying to like, can I please get some voices that are clear and biblical and helpful and won't scold me and shame me, then avail yourself of all of these manly resources at fortisplus.org. Then, when you're done scrolling, please send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a question from Athul. He's from India, and he says, Todd, my question is whether I can have health insurance or term insurance as a Christian. Would it be like not trusting in God's sovereign plan?
Maybe. Maybe not. It's a hard issue. I think health insurance, was it health, life, term, which one are we talking about here?
Yeah,
all health, of them?
But yeah.
All right, well, there are distinctions that I think require a little bit of more fiddling, but let's just stick with health insurance for a moment. It depends on your heart. It's a neutral issue. It's like this microphone I'm talking into. Is it a sin for me to be using this microphone? Now, if you're listening to me talk, you would say it absolutely is a sin for you to be talking with or without a microphone. But that isn't my point. The point is, if I'm just using this microphone in service of what I'm trying to do, which is talk, no problem. But if this microphone is the center of my life, this microphone is amazing. And I love talking into this microphone. This microphone is the best microphone. This microphone is better than Glenn Beck's microphone. It's not. His probably costs about 70 times more. The point is, it becomes an idol in my heart. But it's just a microphone. Doesn't have to be an idol, but I make it one. In other words, it's a heart issue. And that is, I don't know what the percentage split is between issues that are clearly verboten in the Bible and issues that are just neutral. This bottle of water. I can be sinning with it or not. It's just a bottle of water. It's what I do with it in my heart. The same thing is true with health insurance. If you're freaking out, oh, I'm going to die and I'm going to end up in a gutter and nobody's going to care for me and God is nowhere to be found and he couldn't help me if I didn't have health insurance, then you got an idol problem. And you should repent of that. But that doesn't mean it has to be an idol. It can simply be a wise decision. And I'll just, this is my side. Everybody's got to make their decision about health insurance. Jimmy, it is getting so bonkers out there with the health insurance business.
Oh, man.
Whew, I'm telling you, can we focus on some of these issues? Because this is a monster issue. The health insurance, you pay a fortune and you get nothing. You get nothing for it. Mrs. Friel and I added it up. We take a look at what we spend on insurance. And it's like, we're spending that much per year. Now take that over, say the last, I don't know, 20 years. We haven't, praise the Lord, experienced anything that was like a big bill. I get that's the point of insurance, which is why I think catastrophic insurance is a pretty good idea. But we totaled it up. It's like, basically we could be rich if we hadn't spent that money for nothing. And then you try to get something approved. Now you got to get it pre-approved. So you're but I digress. Now see, in this instance, health insurance would be a sin because my heart attitude toward it right now is quite hateful. But perhaps because it's health insurance, it's a righteous indignation. The issue of insurance, like so many things, it is a heart issue. life insurance. Is there anything wrong with setting aside some money so that if something bad happens to you, you can provide money so that your family doesn't suffer? I would struggle to say that's a bad idea. Now, if your reason for buying it is, if I don't buy this life insurance, if I don't have this policy in place and I die, my kids, they're going to starve to death. And my spouse, she'll be sold into slavery. And I'll never see the grandchildren will never get an education. I've got to get this life insurance. Then you're sinning. But it doesn't have to be a sin. It can simply be a wisdom issue. It all depends on the heart, because that's what Christianity is. Christianity is a heart issue. It's a heart religion. It's all about the affections. God does not want little Pharisees that apparently keep up all the rules, but their hearts, they're brood of vipers. They're whitewashed tombs. They stink on the inside. God wants us to make decisions based on our attitude and our affections toward Him, distinguishing Christianity from every other religion in the world. 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a question from Anonymous. It's a text. Todd, we have a very important report that we use to work off of at my job. During meetings, my boss frequently presses us to use this report as our Bible. As any believer would, I feel incredibly frustrated to hear this. What would be the best way to respond?
Depends on your personality. There are some people who can say things, message sent, nobody's offended. I'm not one of those people. And so you need to get your heart right in the first place, and then consider your personality, your skills and your strengths in communicating confrontational issues like this, and then launch it. If it's bugging you that much, would it bug me? Yeah, it would bug me. I have to admit, it would bug me. Would I feel the need to say something about it? I'd probably have to be in this situation before I could answer that question with any clarity. But what you could do is just talk to the guy privately. Hey, friend, coworker, boss, whatever. This is maybe going to sound kind of trite and silly. Could I ask a favor? I know you're not doing this to bug me, but every time you say that this report is our Bible, the Bible is actually like really special to me. Would you be kind enough to do your best to try to avoid that phrase? I'd be just super grateful for that. And off you go. I don't think I'd turn it into a big deal. I don't think that I'd fire some sort of shot in a meeting that makes him look dumb. But I think the biblical principle of going to somebody, confronting them face to face, having prayed, making sure your heart is right, that would be the path that I would encourage. And by the way, that is an encouragement that is needed inside of the context of the local church. Do you know why, Jimmy? Because that's the sermon that's going to be preached this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church.
From 1 Peter?
How'd you know?
Oh, wow. Good guess.
You Karnak, you Kreskin, you know what's going on in my mind. No, it is from 1 Peter, because Peter is very concerned about unity. He wants to make sure that the body is healthy. We'll do this another day, and I'm probably going to do this when we finally get to the end of 1 Peter. I've been scanning, looking through the different pastoral epistles written to the pastor and the churches. Wow, the duplication of the concern of the author, whether it's Paul or Peter or John, is staggering. It's like, hey, wait a second. Paul talked about that. Hey, wait a second. That was in Colossians 3. Wait a second. That's in Ephesians 4. Hold on. That's Titus 2 from 1 Peter. Because the issue of church unity and how we get along was so important to the apostles who wrote those epistles that they repeat. Each one of them made a point about it. Get along. Get along. Don't fight. Don't squabble. Don't be unnecessarily critical of one another. Overlook one another's faults. Communicate lovingly with one another, rescue one another so that we have unity, so that the world sees it and wants to know about our glorious Savior. That's a message that is so constant in the epistles. So to the local church, if you're in one, and I hope you are as a believer, we got to work hard toward it. All of these men would not have labored so long on the subject of unity in the context of the local church if it weren't a threat and a danger, and if it weren't an Achilles. Like there's some sinning that can go on in the church, kind of no big whoop, if you will, in that it's not going to be devastating. It's not going to be factious. It's not going to cause all kinds of division and people departing. But there are things that do. And it's how we treat one another, especially in the context of how we go about the business of interacting when, I don't know if you notice this, none of us are perfect. When we sin against one another. And so I think I'm making this commitment for Alpharetta Bible Church. This is going to be one of those subjects that we revisit somewhat regularly, because it must be an ever-present danger. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in so many epistles, that God wants us to live together in unity and love. And one of the best ways to do that is to not gossip about folks, but to bring your issues directly to one another. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.